Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naran Shaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasupraya Shurabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Yaswanu Bhava Makilashati Saramekam Adyatmandipam Atiti Shatam Tamonindam Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guyam Tam Vyasasunam Upayami Gurum Muninam. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 5, Chapter entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Maitreya uvacha Devahutyapi sandarshim Devahutyapi sandesham Goravena prajapate Goravena prajapate Samyakshadaya purusham Yuktastam abhijad gurum Maitreya uvacha Devahutyapi sardesham Goravena prajapate Samyakshadaya purusham Kutastam abhajad gurum Devahutyapi sandesham Goravena prajapate Samyakshadaya purusham Kutastam abhajat gurum. Mataji's. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said, Devahuti, Devahuti, Api also. Sandesham, the direction. Gauravena, with great respect. Prajapate, of Kardama. Samyak, complete. Shraya, having faith in. Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kutastam, situated in everyone's heart. Abhajat, worshipped. Gurum, most worshipable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Maitreya said, Devahuti was fully faithful and respectful toward the direction of her husband Kardama, who is one of the Prajapatis, or generators of human beings in the universe. O great sage, she thus began to worship the Master of the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart. Purport. This is the process of spiritual realization. One has to receive instruction from a bona fide spiritual master. Kardama Muni was Devahuti's husband, but because he instructed her on how to achieve spiritual perfection, he naturally became her spiritual master also. There are many instances wherein the husband becomes the spiritual master. Lord Shiva is also the spiritual master of his consort, Parvati. A husband should be so enlightened that he should become the spiritual master of his wife in order to enlighten her in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Generally, stri, or woman, is less intelligent than man. Therefore, if the husband is intelligent enough, the woman gets a great opportunity for spiritual enlightenment. Here it is clearly said, samyak shadaya, that with great faith one should receive knowledge from the spiritual master, and with great faith execute the performance of service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, has especially stressed the instruction of the spiritual master. One should accept the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Whether one is liberated or not liberated, one should execute the instruction of the spiritual master with great faith. It is also stated that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. One does not have to seek the Lord outside. He is already there. One simply has to concentrate on one's worship in good faith, as instructed by the bona fide spiritual master, and one's efforts will come out successfully. It is also clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear as an ordinary child. He appears as He is. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, He appears by His own internal potency, Atma Maya. And how does He appear? He appears when pleased by the worship of a devotee. A devotee may ask the Lord to appear as her son. The Lord is already sitting within the heart, and if He comes out from the body of a devotee, it does not mean that the particular woman becomes his mother in the material sense. He is always there, but in order to please his devotee, he appears as her son. Om Jnanatimidandasya Jnananjana Shilakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svaparantikam Namashreshtram Manu Apisati Putra Matrasvarupam Rupam Tasyak Rajam Urupurim Mathurim Gosvaratim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahoradika Maravasam Prapto Yasya Patitikripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajataham Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschacare Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopeshwa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarum Vishya Kriva Sindhura Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Durga me Padme Nantasya, Sakalat Padagater Mahur, Swakripa Yasti Danena, Santa Sanvavalambanam. Srila Prabhupada in this purport is describing the position of ourselves in relationship to the Lord at any and all times. The living entity in the material state is covered by various material conditionings, which are actually the combinations and permutations of which are unlimited. Yaho samohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manyate nartam takritam chapi padyate. That the living entity in contact with the material energy, although originally transcendental, is unable to perceive its transcendental nature due to contact with that material energy. And this specifically takes place due to the vaya medium of the false ego. As Archita Prabhu was explaining yesterday, the vaya medium by which we're able to experience a material body and the various desires of the material mind and the material intelligence is a false ego. So Krishna explains that the senses are superior to the sense objects, and above the sense objects is the mind. And above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is a false ego, and above the false ego is the soul. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita that one can control the senses through the mind, and the mind has to be controlled via the intelligence. But because the intelligence is subordinate to the false ego, the intelligence is incapable of controlling the false ego. Because how subtle the false ego is, the intelligence is unable to put it under its control. So it has to be something which interjects, which allows the false ego to be chidyante sarvasamsayaha, which can be cut. And as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, it is the instruction which is received from the spiritual master, which helps cut away the control of the false ego of the intelligence, mind, and senses. So the instruction of the spiritual master enters in between and gives us instruction which is of a transcendental nature. It gives us instruction of who we are in the level of the soul. And from that instruction, that intelligence develops a transcendental quality. And that intelligence, which is guided by spiritual instruction, is able to overcome the materially contaminated mind, the materially contaminated senses, which are specifically being controlled by the false ego. Anartho paksanam sakshat bhakti yogam zadhoksaje lokasya janato vidvams chakri satbhava samhitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken specifically for this purpose, for the purpose of eradicating the false ego through the medium of transcendental spiritual instruction. So it's explaining here that Kandarva Muni was Devahuti's husband, and because he instructed her on how to achieve spiritual perfection, he naturally became her spiritual master also. There are many instances in wherein where the husband becomes a spiritual master. In our life, there'll be many people who come along and give us instructions, and depending on the quality of that instruction, we should learn to appreciate the presence of Krishna. If that person is representing the message of the Guru Parampara properly, that person should be accepted as a guru. Kipa vipra kipa nasi sudrikahi noi ye Krishna Veda Tattva se guru hoy. That whatever position one is in their life, whatever particular guna and karma they've acquired, if that person is able to transmit spiritual knowledge, we should learn to accept that spiritual instruction. So one may be functioning as a husband, one may be functioning as a teacher, one may even be functioning as someone that we're meeting on the street. For instance, Srila Prabhupada, when he was beginning to print Back to Godhead magazine, he had received this idea that he should print books. He met a librarian. She said, you know, printing these newspapers, it's nice, but, you know, if you can print some books, it can actually last a bit longer, and more people can be affected by the book rather than just these newspapers. After meeting that person, Srila Prabhupada began his translation effort of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The point of the message is, Yomam pasiti sarvatra sarvam chamai pasiti tasyaham na pranasyani sachame na pranasyati. That if one is Krishna conscious, if one is meditating constantly on the instruction of the spiritual master, then one can perceive the message of the spiritual master coming in varieties of circumstances in one's life. And so although later on Devahuti will be instructed by Kapiladev, who gives the primary instruction to her spiritual advancement, we see that Kardama Muni is also playing a significant role. So it's not that the spiritual master, the guru, is one, but the guru is many, functioning for the same principle. And that ultimately, that Adi Guru is coming from Shankarshan. And that Shankarshan has expanded himself in the heart of every single living entity as Chaitya Guru. And when the living entity becomes a little bit sincere, Atato Brahma Jignasya, when the propensity to inquire arises, then Krishna will arrange many circumstances, many people by which that living entity can be elevated in the science of Krishna consciousness. So, Kipra Vipra Kipya Nasi Sudra Kehe Noi. Say Krishna Vedic Tapra, say Guru Hoy. That we can be instructed in an unlimited number of ways, provided the desire to want to advance spiritually is available. A husband should be so enlightened that he should become the spiritual master of his wife in order to enlighten her in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Generally, stri or woman is less intelligent than man. Therefore, if the husband is intelligent enough, the woman gets a great opportunity for spiritual enlightenment. This is explaining that actually we have a great responsibility, not only to ourselves, but we have a great responsibility to society. If anyone wants to give shelter to anyone, which in the course of life you have to give shelter to someone, you're either going to have to give shelter to a wife, a husband, children, so many things you'll have to give shelter to. And if you refuse to give shelter to anyone, the material energy will arrange in such a way that you have to take responsibility for something. You'll have to take responsibility for maybe a pet guinea pig, or a dog or whatever it may be. But the nature of this world is that you have to learn the quality of selflessness. And the greatest quality of selflessness is to become educated in the science of Krishna consciousness. So here it is clearly said, samyak shraya, that with great faith one should receive knowledge from the spiritual master and with great faith execute the performance of service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita has especially stressed the instruction of the spiritual master. One should accept the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Whether one is liberated or not liberated, one should execute the instruction of the spiritual master with great faith. It is also stated that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. One does not have to seek the Lord outside. He is already there. One simply has to concentrate on one's worship in good faith, as instructed by the bona fide spiritual master, and one's efforts will come out successfully. We have to learn in the course of our Krishna consciousness to redefine what does success mean. Success in our Krishna consciousness may not always look like the results which we're expecting. But success in Krishna consciousness is according to our willingness to submit ourselves to the instruction of the spiritual master. If we submit ourselves to the instructions of the spiritual master, if we live and we abide by the principles of those instructions, then the natural byproduct will be that no matter what circumstance we're put in, whether favorable or unfavorable materially, some result will be there. It may not be the result that we're expecting, but it will be the result which Krishna has specifically designed for our own advancement in life. We see in the life of Maharaj Parikshit, he was actually very, very carefully following the principles of Dharma. So much, so carefully that he was willing to punish Kali, who was torturing a cow and torturing a bull. He was ready to take that person's life. Furthermore, despite the fact everyone had full respect for him as a king, he was still executing his duty of traveling all around the world for the purpose of upholding the principles of Dharma. But we see that in his life, from the very beginning, he was protected by Krishna. He's known as Vishnurata, that who is protected by Krishna. And we see the beginning of his life, Ashvatthama, when he released the Brahmastra weapon to kill Parikshit when he was in the womb. Uttara, she cried, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpate, Nayam Twaravayam Pashyat, Yatra Mittu Parasparam. That, my dear Lord, I can't find anyone who can protect me except you. So Uttara, she surrendered to the Lord immediately because she could see that the Pandavas weren't going to protect her. She could see that she wasn't going to be able to protect herself. The only person in such a circumstance was going to be Krishna, who could offer protection. And when Krishna offered his protection, he appeared in the womb of Mother Uttara. And when he appeared in the womb, he existed as his Adhoksaja form of Vishnu, and protect the Brahmastra weapon from entering into the womb by his Sudarshana Chakra. So Krishna was personally there to protect Maharaj Parikshit at the beginning of his life. Why? As the Bhagavatam explains, he was a person who was completely aligned with the will of the Lord. Becoming aligned with the instruction of the spiritual master means becoming attuned to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But despite the fact that Parikshit Maharaj was protected in the womb of his mother, still he was put into a circumstance by which he couldn't be protected. He was, by the influence of Yogamaya, for the purpose of instructing the entire world through the medium of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was put into a circumstance where he fell thirsty. And when he became thirsty, he entered into the house of Somaka Rishi, and he placed a snake around Somaka Rishi because he wasn't received properly. Shortly after that, Sringi had come and cursed Parikshit for insulting his father. And when Sringi found out about the offense of Sringi, he immediately was regretful. He said, "My dear boy, you're such a fool. Our king is the greatest king to have ever walked the earth, and you've cursed him. Surely I can see that Kali Yuga has descended upon us. I can definitely see that Kali Yuga has begun, because the first thing which degrades in Kali Yuga is the character of the Brahmanas. You've lost control of yourself, and therefore you've cursed a king who is free of any offense. And when Somaka Rishi was meditating on how to rectify this situation, he immediately could understand there was nothing that could be done to rectify it, actually. He immediately understood that there's no possibility that this circumstance could be rectified, because why? Taraskripta viparlabdha shatashkripta upatarapi nasya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. That the devotees of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit, whether they're insulted, whether they are dejected, whether they are ostracized, whether they are cursed, or even if they are killed, such devotees, their nature is to forbear all insults. So we could understand that although Maharaj Parikshit had the ability to counteract the curse of Sringi, because of his quality of forbearance, because of his quality of forgiveness, he was not going to counteract the curse. What does this teach us in the execution of our Krishna consciousness? What it teaches us is that in the course of our serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead via the medium of the instruction of the spiritual master, we should not expect a smooth road in our Krishna consciousness. Sri Bhakti Marga Iyakanta Kakoti Rudha. Srila Prabodha Nanda Saraswati explains that the path of bhakti is littered with hundreds and thousands of thorns. If someone is looking for an easy life in Krishna consciousness, they're in the wrong place. There's plenty of pseudo yoga studios, apasampradayas existing in North America nowadays, by which you can go take shelter of a pseudo practice of Krishna consciousness and live a happy-go-lucky life and chant a little bit of Hare Krishna and continue on with any of your nonsense activities. But if you want to actually submit to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya and become empowered to effect real change within the heart of the entire human society, then it requires that we become so fixed in the instruction of the spiritual master, so absorbed in the service of the spiritual master, that whatever reversals come, in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we will see that as the greatest blessing in the entire world. So despite the fact there may be challenges, despite the fact there may be reversals, the nature of a devotee is to adhere to the spiritual master in all circumstances. And this is why this particular section which Prabhupada is quoting in this purport, Vyasayatmika Budhir, Ekeha Kuranandana, Bahushaka Rinantasha Budayo Vayavasahinam. That to be many branched in one's intelligence means that one can become enamored by any type of boga, yoga, or whatever type of path they want to engage in the name of practicing a so-called spiritual practice. Even potentially in the name of practicing Krishna consciousness, one could become bahushaka rinantascha, interested in so many distractions which aren't actually dealing with the proper thing. What is the proper thing? Anyabhilashata sunyam jnana karmane anavritam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutamam. Shilanam bhaktirutamam means that in any circumstance, whether positive or negative materially, my mind is fixed in serving the mission of the previous acharyas. You can kill me, you can curse me, you can ostracize me, you can blaspheme me, you can send me in any direction. But my only concern is that I can somehow or other become empowered to expand the mission of Lord Chaitanya despite the fact there may be so many obstacles put in my path. So Krishna Shakti Tara Parvartana. Krishna Shakti Nahi Tara Parvartana. That only one who is empowered by Krishna, by the Krishna Shakti, can expand the Krishna consciousness movement. And the only person who can become empowered to expand the Krishna consciousness movement is one who has fixed their mind completely in the instruction of the spiritual master and is willing to tolerate and forego all reversals in the process of executing that service. If this becomes our focus, then the natural byproduct will be yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana savayargunastatra samastase sudaha. Due to that akinchana bhakti, due to that mood of complete surrender, no question of when, where, and how I'm going to execute this, the instruction of the spiritual master. All I know is that I have that instruction and it has me. I am under its control 24/7. And if that is our conviction, if that is our fixity, the natural byproduct is that all saintly qualities will manifest in our character. And we won't be interested in developing those qualities for our own self-aggrandizement, but we'll simply see those qualities as a blessing given by Krishna to make us more effective in our service in giving Krishna consciousness to the entire world. That's just a few thoughts on this purport. I don't want to take too much time. I like to make sure there's time for discussion because we have many senior Vaishnavas who are full of the depth of realization. So if we can open it up for discussion, I'd be very happy. Archita Prabhu, Savas Prabhu, Satchitanoi Prabhu.
Nothing to add. I just want to thank you for, because as we know, go to Chandra Prabhu's schedule, but apparently there's some medical emergency. So thank you for sitting on such short notice and delivering very deep insights on this purport. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sachi? Yeah, I want just for discussion. Yeah.
Prabhu, when the living entity, when the jiva turns away his face from Krishna, all kinds of miseries happen, troubles and difficulties. When the living entity decides to surrender fully 100% to the spiritual master and to Krishna, then everything is happening under, I mean, he's fully protected by Krishna. Mm-hmm. So it appears, just for discussions, that at that point the free will of the living entity is totally, like it's almost in one sense cut away, and it's only Krishna acting all the time. Mm. Maybe you can say something about that.
Well, the pure devotee is constantly making the choice to be aligned with the will of Krishna in any and all circumstances. And we can see that in some instances, the Lord will put the devotee in circumstances by which the devotee seems to be against the will of the Lord, like in the circumstance of Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev appeared to be against the purpose of the Lord by taking the side of Duryodhana. But we can understand from the commentaries of the previous acharyas that actually, specifically through Srila Prabhupada, that actually Bhishmadev was never out of contact with Krishna in any and all circumstances. He was always surrendered to Krishna. He always had deep love and attachment for Krishna. But Krishna arranged his life in such a way that he would be put on the side of Duryodhana to show the world that no matter how much material ability you may have, you won't be able to defeat the purpose of the Lord. So the devotee can function in a very dynamic way. It's not a very straightforward type of circumstance. The devotee, when surrendered, can function in any capacity for the purpose of serving the Lord. But the choice of the devotee is always there. Unless one is, for instance, a parasad, by which one is actually a manifestation of the internal potency of the Lord, such as Srimati Radharani, or the gopis of Vrindavan, or the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. These are direct expansions of Krishna, functioning in a particular capacity for fulfilling Krishna's pastimes of love and service. But if one is situated in the disposition of being a tatastha shakti of the Lord, jiva shakti, then the jiva always has the capacity to turn against the will of the Lord. This is my understanding, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Ajahn said that your class is deepest than the deepest ocean in this material universe. And at the same time, you're very humble. So I just want to praise you But don't look at me like your enemy, please. Don't fight me because if somebody prays, somebody else, it's not service to you. But I'm just very inspired with your class, and thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Suvas Prabhu.
I agree. Thank you for a wonderful class. I thought an interesting point in the purport was that Prabhupada said that whether one is liberated or not liberated, one should fully follow the instruction of the spiritual master. I thought that was very prevalent because when you're not liberated, you're always struggling.
Mm.
You know, you're thinking, what am I doing? I don't know if I'm making any advancement. I don't know if I'm really Krishna conscious. Still, one should follow. And then the next point is that even if you are liberated. So that to me was very significant because sometimes when one gets so-called liberated, they think that they don't have to follow the instruction of a spiritual master. So I thought that was a very prevalent part of the purport in terms of Prabhupada explaining that regardless of what your position is, you should surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master. Don't concoct. Don't speculate. Just follow the instruction, accept whatever the spiritual master is saying, and you'll become Krishna conscious.
Yeah, if someone is claiming to be liberated but unwilling to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, they're definitely not liberated. Okay.
You see, Srila Prabhupada, I mean, obviously Prabhupada was Shakta Esh Avatar. You know, he followed the instruction of his spiritual master.
Correct.
You know, and although he was in such an elevated position, and always he would revert to his spiritual master.
Mataji.
Thank you for an amazing class, Prabhu. One question which comes to my mind when you said that there may be situation seemingly where Krishna doesn't protect you.
Mm.
In the sense that you are thinking that this is Krishna's protection. So how to understand that we are still being protected in those situations? Mm. So because that affects your faith and that affects your, your surrender. So how to see the protection there too?
Yeah. That's the verse I'm thinking of. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesam nitya vyukta mam yoga kshema vinamyaham. That if one is fixed exclusively in the worship of Krishna, then Krishna will protect whatever one has and provide whatever one lacks. So what Krishna is protecting is our shraddha, our faith in the process of devotional service. Krishna is not interested in protecting our material circumstance because generally it's our material circumstance which is getting in the way in the maturation of our faith. So it may look like things are falling apart materially, but if things are falling apart materially, then Krishna is putting things together spiritually. I've heard Chaitanya Charan Prabhu say once that if one feels they're down to nothing, you can expect that Krishna's up to something. So we can have faith that if we are continuing to surrender to the process of sadhana bhakti, Krishna has a plan. And Krishna is not protecting our material circumstance. Krishna is protecting our faith and our ability to go on serving. And in that sense, we should always be praying for Krishna's protection. Because if our faith is too much dependent on the comforts of our life materially, and our definition of Krishna consciousness is highly identified with that so-called materially comfortable situation, then when those circumstances get taken away from us, we could potentially lose faith. But it's not that faith in Krishna consciousness is being lost. Faith in our material life is being lost, and it's an opportunity to inquire, where should our faith actually be put? Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
The challenges may come in material, that is okay, but sometimes when the challenges come in your spiritual situations,
mm.
and where you see that you wanted to serve in a particular manner,
mm.
but it doesn't go through,
mm.
and you're not able to understand as to how that service has to manifest,
mm.
yeah, and it affects the purpose of life, then what to do?
Srila Prabhupada would often say, Archita, I think, I'll answer this and I'll hear. Is that okay? I'll just finish and then you can speak. Is that okay? Okay. Srila Prabhupada, he was given an instruction by his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada, in relationship to this purport, Prabhupada said, if one gets an instruction from a spiritual master and one feels incapable of executing it, one should simply think, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And that contemplation of how can I do, according to Srila Prabhupada, is as good as executing the mission itself. So one may receive the instruction of the spiritual master and not be executing it, seems physically, but they're putting it off for a later time because of circumstances they're not able. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He immediately gave his heart to his spiritual master when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. He said, in my heart I accepted him as my spiritual master. But due to circumstances, that service couldn't manifest fully. But he was constantly contemplating, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? And if you hear the testimonies of people who were associating with Srila Prabhupada during that time, he was constantly speaking about how he wanted to go to the Western world and preach. Although he is existing as a grihasta, although he is existing as a vranaprastha, although he is running a business, people were completely stunned by his desire to spread Krishna consciousness because he seemed like a very insignificant person at that time. But his contemplation was extremely significant. So Srila Prabhupada was empowered in due course of time, by and by, due to that constant contemplation. So it's possible that our opportunity hasn't come yet. And Krishna is preparing us for what needs to take place in our life in the future. As the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita has a chapter called The Lifetime in Preparation. So we could just be in a preparation mode. It may not be an execution mode. But if our contemplation is how can I do, how can I do, how can I do, that's as good as executing the instruction itself. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpatarumbhischa kripa sindhura evacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha antaraj srimad bhagavatam ki jai nantakoti vaishnava vrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.